T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You can hear every game of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues right here on WQAM. Pregame starts at 7:45 p.m. The broadcast on WQAM is sponsored by Gunther Kia. You got to get to Gunther Kia for the summer sticker sales event happening now through July 1st. Hockey on Miami's hockey station, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2. WQAM. Welcome back here to 560. Greg Likens alongside Ira Winderman as we get into this 5 o'clock hour here. Coming up at 6 o'clock, that's when we'll turn things over to Larry Bluestein. Got the high school show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And then, of course, as mentioned, we've got Stanley Cup Finals coverage after that. We spoke to Steve Goldstein about an hour ago as he's there in St. Louis covering things for Westwood One. And then coming up next segment, we'll speak to Mark Jones from ESPN as he'll give us his thoughts on what's going on with the NBA Finals and maybe look ahead to free agency as well a little bit with him, Ira. But as we take a look at what transpired last night, Warriors take game two, 109-104 over the Raptors to even the series at one game apiece. Golden State has won a road game in 23 straight playoff series. That's an NBA record. They also assisted on all 22 of their baskets in the second half.
It's crazy.
You look at the 20-0 run from the end of the second quarter through the beginning of the third quarter. That's an NBA record since the merger, an NBA Finals game. Also, the 18-0 run at the beginning of the half, the second half. That is an NBA record since the merger. And the opening 5.5 minutes of the third quarter, that is when they went on that 18-0 run and really took control of this game. And the thing about it, Ira, is we've become accustomed to this. This is something that the Golden State Warriors consistently do. Is doesn't matter how poorly they played in the first half, they seem to find a way in that third quarter to make amends, whether it's adjustments, whether they've just gotten into the flow of things. That has been their bread and butter, and it worked again last night, despite the fact that we saw Klay Thompson at one point go down. Kevin Durant had already been out. Looney was out and missed part of this game as well. So they overcame adversity by their standards. Toronto wasn't able to take advantage, even though they made a late push, and now we see this as a tied series.
And it's not even adversity for the Warriors anymore. I believe it's the last five games they've been trailing at halftime. I think Golden State sits there and says, where's my motivation? What's the least I can do? Do I only need one burst? Perfect. I'll give you one burst and do it that way. I think there is somewhat of that fatigue of being in the NBA Finals for five straight years of, Toronto, you can see they're caught up in it. This is their moment. You saw what Pascal Siakam did in game one. You saw Kawhi Leonard's game winner against the 76ers. This is all new and wonderful as a franchise. You see Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit different for Golden State. As a matter of fact, Greg, I find it interesting. In the new arena they are building in San Francisco, this will be the last ever games at Oracle Arena, which is a shame, on the Oakland side of the Bay. They'll be moving to this unbelievable campus. I had a chance to see the new downtown arena, and they're building this little area on the side, and they showed a picture. It's a big circle, and it's going to be their version of Jurassic Park. And I really wonder if the high-end Golden State fans are going to line up outside for 12, 20 hours to get into a place to stand outside in the mist and the cold. We've all seen San Francisco Giant games just to root for their team. To me, it's the late Jim Mandich used to call them wine sippers, you know, that sort of crowd. And I think the Golden State Warriors almost are a bunch of wine sippers from the point of, while they savor the moment, they also know that they only have to do so much. Now, if Klay Thompson doesn't play, the challenge changes. If Kevin Durant doesn't play, the challenge changes. But I still think they'll feel out the game. There's some thought that, oh, now that they're back home, they're going to go to Oracle, they're going to go out to a 24-2 lead, and it's over. That's what I don't see in this team. I have yet to see the third quarter in the first quarter.
Yeah, and I wonder why that is. If it is, they've just become complacent. They've got enough talent, and it's almost like the game within the game for them, where it's like, okay, yeah.
We'll, a mind game,
we'll, we'll start, and we'll cruise along a little bit here, and then it becomes a challenge when they've got the deficit, and all of a sudden everybody wakes up, and they start playing up to their potential. Well, I do know that you can make the argument this was a blown, missed opportunity for the Toronto Raptors, considering they had built up a lead in the second quarter. They let that dwindle away and obviously went away in the third, but it's amazing. I brought up the first 5.5 minutes of the third quarter and how the Warriors outscored them 18-0. The final 5.5 minutes of the game, the Warriors scored a mere 3 points, and it came courtesy of Andre Iguodala in the waning seconds where they left them open. We didn't get into this too much earlier, but what did you make of how they played defense? I thought, sitting on my couch watching the end of that game, that Nick Nurse was going to have his team foul and try to extend time because there's only like 2 seconds or so difference between the shot clock and the
Nick
game
Nurse
clock.
Said after, there was a very good story in The Athletic about this, that his threshold is 28 seconds.
Okay.
That if they're not at least 28 seconds left to start the possession and you are trailing, you foul because, one, you run the risk of an offensive rebound and then have to foul anyway and to want to give yourself time. So there was less than that, so they were within his window to foul. His initial order was, and I like this a lot, when there's still 27 seconds or so left, play the trap to half court. Maybe you get the 8-second violation. Give up 8 seconds of the clock. I have no problem with that. Get one hard trap in the corner if you can. They got that on Steph Curry. He was on very shaky ground when he threw the pass that Kawhi Leonard almost intercepted. But when you have Draymond Green or even Andre Iguodala on the floor, players who are under 70% free throw shooters, that's your opportunity to seize the moment. Mm-hmm. Look, Rick, I hate the college game for the fouling at the end. I hate it. I'm glad they went from 1-1 to the double bonus for that reason. But you have to extend the game. You know, the only question was late part two of this debate was, should Andre Iguodala, as Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson spoke about, shot, when he literally could have stood there for 6 more seconds, so if he missed, there would have been that minimal amount of time. My thought is, you're that open. If you can't make that shot, you're not winning anyway. If you miss it, you still have the lead. But yeah, you had a foul. You had to extend the game. Is this a young team learning? I don't buy that BS. They won a game 7 against Philly. They've lived in the moment. They've seized moments. But yeah, I think that was a big missed opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, one of the talking points after game 1 were the Raptors' complimentary players to Kawhi Leonard and how they would show up. And certainly in game 1, we saw Siakam, Gasol, and Van Vliet combine to shoot 71% from the floor. Last night, they combined to shoot 33% from the floor, and Siakam scored 20 less points. Gasol scored 14 less points. Van Vliet actually scored 2 more points, but wasn't as efficient. And I think just in general, Ira, when you watched that game last night, and Siakam filled up the stat sheet, but Van Vliet appears through 2 games to be their most reliable scorer other than Kawhi Leonard. That, to me, throws up all sorts of warning flags.
It can't be. Well, if you can get what you got from Pascal Siakam, who clearly I think is going to be the NBA Most Improved Player Award, June 24th NBA Awards, I think he wins it there. You got to get more out of Marc Gasol. I'm not sure what Marc Gasol is at this point of his career. Is he on that downward Pau Gasol sort of, you know, trajectory? My question is this. Kawhi Leonard, no one knows what he's doing. There was a report out of the very respected True Hoop Network the other day that said that he's definitely staying in Toronto on a short contract. But of course, anyone can say what they want because somebody at the end of the day, hey, look, we were right. If Kawhi Leonard leaves that team, they do not have the salary cap space for a replacement. So, Greg, let me ask you this. They challenged Milwaukee most of the year for the number one seed. Mm-hmm. They settled comfortably into number two with Kawhi missing a quarter of the schedule. How far does Toronto fall without Kawhi and a replacement? In other words, even if Marc Gasol picks up his option and you have him and Ibaka and Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet in today's Eastern Conference, where Milwaukee is going to get better, where Philly, if they keep Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, would be right up there, where Boston certainly has the assets to move things around to still be quite, you know, competitive, I could see Toronto going from a top four seed to maybe a team falling behind in Indiana or another New York with their salary cap space falling to immediately a 6 or 7 seed.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still a playoff team, but you're right. They're not an upper echelon team. I mean, that's a huge piece missing. And you know what? I saw Tom Thibodeau on Get Up on ESPN. I guess it was...
Oh, you're the one who watches.
So,
okay.
Yeah, prior to this series starting, and they were kind of asking, with the Raptors wrapping up the Eastern Conference Finals and advancing to the NBA Finals, what this means for the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes, and if it means that he'll stick around or if he'll go. And if he does go, he made the argument. He goes, hey, they're in great shape either way. If he stays, then they're going to be a perennial contender. If not, they can tear it down and rebuild. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, they could, but why would you describe that as being in great shape either way?
I don't get that.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
And that's, you know what I don't get about this is this, and if Toronto doesn't win a championship, which I still think is the more likely outcome, but if the series will play itself out, was this Kawhi Leonard trade a successful trade?
It's a great question.
Everyone is saying yes. Everyone is saying because of what they created, what's going on in Jurassic Park, we got to the NBA Finals, people finally noticed, hey, Canada has a hockey, has a basketball team. We know that a hockey team has a basketball team. So, and I'm like, no, because don't you and I and people always talk about enduring and that success can't just be a one-year blip and then go away. It has to be something more. To me, I think it was a bad trade if he leaves and you gambled your entire franchise of DeMar DeRozan in an abject love for your franchise, and you sold that away just for 1 year, I don't think that's a great trade. I understand we live in the moment. I get that. That you might only have, quote-unquote, one bite of the apple. But I still think that if you only knew you were getting 1 year, if you knew, which you didn't, Masai Ujiri didn't know, would you still have made the deal?
Well, and to add on top of that, it's like you had this series of stars leave Toronto, right? Between Chris Bosh, who we know well, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter. Nobody wanted to stay in Toronto. So you finally get a guy in DeMar DeRozan that does want to be there, as
and
you just
loves,
described.
Loves the city, loves the people, loves the fans.
And you get rid of him when you could have made the argument, Ira, that once they knew LeBron James was out of the Eastern Conference, that you might as well give that group one more shot at it without the LeBron roadblock being there. So that's all still lurking behind the scenes. And I would agree with you in this regard, that you could look at this as unsuccessful if they miss out on Kawhi staying there long term. Like, I know that Toronto is different than Miami, but look what happened with the Marlins. You know, they won a couple of championships. So they actually won the championship, but they didn't sustain any success.
And they tore it down right away.
Right
they
away.
Couldn't afford it because of the team. So I don't know if they and if the Kawhi model to you is a successful season, then you know what? It shouldn't just be the Celtics or the Knicks or other teams going in for Anthony Davis. Every team should.
Right.
Because if the successful model is just having 1 year, there's a lot of teams in the NBA that could buy 1 year of Anthony Davis and have relative success if they're willing to realize he's walking out the door after 1 year. Maybe even the Pelicans.
It's really interesting, and we'll see. You're right. Whatever transpires over the remainder of this series, if that does dictate Kawhi Leonard's decision, if he's already got his decision made, that and Kevin Durant and the injury situation. We've got a lot to get into with our guest coming up next. Mark Jones, who does a great job as an ESPN play-by-play broadcaster and has ties to the Toronto area as well. So we're going to get into all of these topics with him when we come back here on 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Monday to everybody. Greg Likens alongside Ira Winterman filling in for Hakan Crowder. Hope everybody is doing well. Big game last night in the NBA Finals as the Warriors even the series at one apiece thanks to a 109-104 victory in Toronto. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. As all guests appear there, you can buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And it is great that we have a chance to welcome in Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at MarkJonesESPN. Mark, thank you very much for joining the show. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Series got a little bit more interesting yesterday with the Warriors stealing one there in Toronto.
Certainly.
When it looked like they were leaking a little bit of oil down the stretch.
It did, and Ira and I have been talking about it, but what did you think overall? We'll talk more specifics. What did you think overall about how last night's game played out?
I think the Warriors basically were the team they've been for most of the playoffs. That game one performance was a team that had been off for 9-10 days, and the rust was falling off by the second. So I think they basically got back to who they are, what their identity is, the fact that they had 34 assists on 38 made field goals and assisted on every single basket, all 22 in the second half, really epitomizes who they are more so than game one.
Mark, when we look at the Warriors, I'm just wondering if we're sort of looking at the Warriors more as laundry and the logo than who the players are. My question is, How much can the Warriors continue losing to attrition and still be the Warriors? We don't know about KD, but it doesn't look very likely for Game 3. Kayvon Looney, it seems like his injury is getting worse by the moment. It went from chest now to shoulder, maybe collarbone. And obviously, you know, with a groin or a hamstring like Klay has, even if he says he's playing, it just takes one quick motion or burst and he's out. At what point does attrition make the Warriors less than the Warriors?
Yeah, they're getting close, Ira. I think their margin is definitely a lot slimmer than it traditionally is with the injuries to the guys that you mentioned, not to mention the fact even that Boogie Cousins extended himself minutes-wise yesterday. Iguodala's hurt, too. That's another guy who's kind of limping around out there, and he makes the big shot. I think what it comes down to is, you know, if they've got Steph out there, they're going to have a chance. He's the one guy that you have to have out there. And as you know, he was dehydrated last night. If he's out there, I think all they need is like what they showed in the third quarter. The Warriors play a game where they can just run up and down for, you know, 39 out of the 48 minutes, or they can run up and down, go through the motions for like 42 out of the 48 minutes. But all they have to do is put together 1 5- or 6-minute spurt in a basketball game and then play you even after that. Because that one spurt that they play, and Steph is usually out there for it, is so devastating that teams rarely recover from that. And that was the case yesterday in that 18-0 run that they had on the Raptors yesterday to start the third quarter. So as long as they can do that, they don't need, I think, the full complement of healthy guys. If they've got Steph out there, if they've got a somewhat healthy Klay Thompson, a somewhat healthy Iguodala. I mean, look at even Andrew Bogut comes off the bench yesterday and gives them 6 points in 7 minutes just at the right time. Their timing of their spurts is really what is holding them together right now. And I think it's built for the long game. They'll be able to withstand Toronto that way.
Well, and that's the other side of the equation. And getting beyond the fandom, I know Greg wants to ask you about that and everything going on in Canada from that perspective. The Raptors themselves, you had a bunch of their games. It seems like every time I want to buy into the Raptors, Kyle Lowry's committing a stupid foul. Their offense goes a 5-minute stretch without anything. Kawhi looks like he's on his last breath. Marcus Gasol goes from great to just a guy. Serge Ibaka goes from just a guy to nobody. Fred VanVleet might be hitting shots, but the rest of the other guys aren't. Mark, should I be sold on the Raptors as anything particularly special as an Eastern Conference champion? Like, what are they?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ira. It's hard for me to buy into a team who's really their second best player, Pascal Siakam, goes 5 for 18 yesterday after careering in game one. Marc Gasol was invisible yesterday, totally outplayed by Boogie Cousins. It wasn't even close. A guy who hadn't played in 6 weeks. And then Lowry, I'll give Kyle Lowry this. If he doesn't score, he only had 13 last night, he's still making good basketball plays, better for worse. Last night was, I think, more of a deviation than the norm for him in terms of that sixth foul, which was a real dumb one, and a couple of other plays. But he makes really invaluable effort plays. And I don't think that Fred VanVleet is going to continue to trend the way that he's trending right now. I mean, shooting the ball and scoring as well as he had, especially in a timely matter. It's hard for me to believe that the Raptors can go into Oracle and win a couple of games at this point in the series.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM, talking about last night's NBA Finals win for the Warriors to even the series at one game apiece. Mark, you already referenced the 18-0 run to start the second half for Golden State. What would you point to, if you can, as to why the Warriors are so consistently dominant in the third quarter, especially during this postseason run?
You know what? I think Steve Kerr is one of the best in the business, one of the top three coaches in the league. I think that he presses the right buttons. Last night, starting Boogie Cousins in place of Jordan Bell. I think that they have that championship medal and experience, which kind of senses when other teams can be vulnerable. And that's what happened to the Raptors yesterday. You know, that comeback by the Warriors actually started at the end of the second quarter. They got that little run at the end of the period, which cut the lead to 5, and they kept going. and they didn't stop until it was a double-digit lead. They have still one of the more explosive lineups in the NBA. When you look at, you know, they got Steph, they got Clay, Boogie was out there doing his thing, a very underrated passer, you know, dropped some great dimes yesterday, and Iguodala makes timely shots and plays, and defensively they locked down. They had the Raptors go 0-for-8, I think it was, in that stretch during that 18-0 run. Iguodala and Draymond Green both got into Kawhi Leonard and totally neutralized him. They only have to do it, like I said, for 5 or 6 minutes at the start of the third quarter, and then they're working with a comfortable margin the rest of the way.
It's amazing. They can do it so well, and you make some good points there. Hey, Mark, I know you have ties to the Toronto area. So, you know, what does being in the NBA Finals mean to the city, to the community, and even the country of Canada?
I think it's fantastic. I think that when you look at the history of basketball in Canada, and more specifically Toronto, where I grew up, there's always been an abundance of talent in the Southern Ontario, Toronto metropolitan area, about 3 million, 3.2 million people. I think this growth, Greg and Ira, is actually late. It's late in coming, and I'll tell you why. I used to work in the media up in Toronto and work at one of the sports stations up there. And every time I tried to say, hey, guys, this is like the late 80s, early 90s, like more late 80s, like 87 through 90 before I left and joined ESPN and ABC, I would be fighting with my assignment editors up there. I'd be saying, hey, listen, guys, there's this Lakers-Celtics game. It's a big deal to basketball people in the city who watch NBA. And I would always get beaten down. They'd be like, oh, Jonesy, nobody cares. Nobody's watching. They would lead with NHL or curling or Formula One or tennis, anything but the NBA. And I think had the media been a little bit more tolerant of the sport, a little bit more open-minded of the popularity of the sport worldwide, you would have seen this movement in Canada and Toronto happen a decade ago. Isaiah Thomas went in there, was great in terms of promoting the sport, and met the same kind of resistance amongst the older demographic, the more traditional demographic that was resistant to what the NBA looked like, what it felt like. They never gave it a chance, but basketball is finally winning out, rightly so, up there, and I'm happy to see it.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM.
Mark, I'm curious. I want to stay on that track for one reason. One of my favorite trips in the NBA used to be is I go up to Portland, then I go to Seattle, then I go to Vancouver, two of the best cities to visit, especially on the NBA tour. Do you ever think there's a chance that Vancouver can get back in the game, that when Adam Silver shows up with Obama last night and you realize it's more than just a game, it's almost a movement in Canada right now? And I know the nation has its one team. They do have, you know, obviously their baseball, it didn't work out as well in Montreal. Could you see a second team in Canada? Or do you think the concentration will just be that, you know, Toronto is Canada's team and that's where it is?
You know what, Ira, that's a great question, and I'm like you, man. I used to love doing that Portland, Seattle, Vancouver Grizzlies triple dip up there in the Northwest. It's a tricky demographic and dynamic, and I'll tell you why. Toronto is as American, quote-unquote, more American, quote-unquote, than any other city, in my estimation,
okay,
in Canada. You don't have the American influence in Edmonton. You don't have that influence in British Columbia. You don't have the same influence in many of the other Canadian cities. And it's because when you look at the proximity of Canada to the American border, you know, it's a 90-minute, you know, hour, 15-minute drive from Toronto to Buffalo, New York.
Right.
All the TV and radio stations, music-wise, culturally, are influenced by, you know, the CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox affiliates in Buffalo. I grew up watching Van Miller. I don't know that Vancouver or any other Canadian city has that predominant, prevailing American influence where, you know, kids who grow up in Toronto, we grew up like we were basketball people. We were not... we weren't hockey guys. A lot of us were not hockey guys.
Right.
We weren't talking Maple Leafs. We were talking about Bob McAdoo and Ernie DiGregorio and Randy Smith.
Randy Smith.
We weren't about that. So, Toronto is very unique in that sense. I can't speak to Vancouver now like that. In 2019, they might have a better chance, but Toronto has so many wonderful ethnic groups that come from all over the world that support basketball, support the Raptors, and you see, I'll tell you this one story, okay?
Sure.
When I grew up in Toronto, it was more important in high school basketball to be voted All-City than it was All-Canadian.
Really?
Okay?
Wow.
Because the concentration of talent, we could have taken a team of basketball players from Toronto. I'm talking about Simeon Mars, my brother, myself, a bunch of guys like that, who would have beaten the national team back in the day.
Wow. Well, that gives you all the perspective you need right there. Mark, since we don't get to see you now for a while, for people who don't know, Mark takes a break with the league crew taking over the finals, comes back for summer league. In between, while I'm trying to do free agency in the draft, Mark is sending me postcard pictures from all over Italy, and for that, I will forever hate you, but you deserve your time. My question to you, Mark, is this, and you and Hubie always have been so much about the game, which I've always appreciated, but we know free agency overwhelms this sport. Maybe like no other sport. The next time we see you, you're going to be in Summer League in Vegas during the heat of free agency, just about that signing period, which runs concurrently. From what you know, from what you've gleaned, from the inside information from your brother who handles radio play-by-play for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard, do you think, number one, this series impacts his decision? Where do you think he winds up?
Yeah, I think his mind is made up. I think he's leaving for the Clippers.
Wow.
The Clippers have had scouted virtually every one of his games this year, whether it be on the road or at home. I think that whether he leaves, I don't think it matters whether he leaves now, because he's taken them further than that franchise has ever gone. And even against the backdrop of a one-year rental, this experiment with Kawhi has still been a success. I mean, you play really year to year. It's almost like the Pat Riley philosophy. We're not into building. Let's be into winning now. And the Raptors are taking their shot now. And I don't think you can find fault with Masai Ujiri having his team 1-1 in the NBA Finals right now, even if Kawhi Leonard leaves, because they'll start over if he leaves, and they'll try and get back there again. But at least they can say they've been there now. They've gotten there, and that was the goal.
Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster for ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Mark, with that in mind, you still have a lot of the series to go, but from the Raptors' perspective, do you think they should feel confident that the Warriors are banged up and we're interested to know about the injury status, or would you be discouraged if you're them that they couldn't take advantage of that opportunity last night?
I think we're going to look back at Game 2, and the Raptors are going to see an opportunity when the series is over that slipped away, in a game that they should have won, with Clay hurt, with Looney out, with Durant not on the floor. They'll look back at that as an opportunity lost. And I think that Golden State wins this series in six. I'm going to stick to my initial prediction. I think they get home, they get just healthy enough. And, you know, I don't know that the Raptors role players like Fred VanVleet and some of their other guys off the bench, Norman Powell's been dynamite in the playoffs. I don't think they can duplicate what they've done at home in Oracle Arena, where the Warriors actually haven't played in a long time. So I think this comes back to Toronto with the Warriors leading 3-1, and they win it in six.
And then, Mark, just to get back to the point I was asking also about free agency, does that trouble you at all that it overtakes the game, and maybe even during the draft, people talking about free agency, and then during summer league, people talking about free agency, or as someone who's ridden this ride for so long, even when you work with old school Hubie Brown, do you sort of appreciate that that's just where the game is right now and that people are on to the next thing?
Yeah. You know what, Ira, it becomes a little bit of a distraction at times, but you know, everybody's talked about it year round. The players kind of blow up on you once in a while if you ask too much about it, like Kyrie Irving did this year. Kawhi did a great job of dismissing it and not letting it be an issue right from the start. I think it's what makes the NBA as popular as it is right now. It has turned into 24-hour-a-day reality TV. And, you know, the speculation about Kawhi, about Kyrie, about Durant, about Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Klay Thompson. You can fill programming, which is what we all do, by just speculating about who's going to come back.
Sure.
And it makes for good theater. I had one of the assistant coaches this year, a Western Conference coach, told me, "Mark, what is it about this league? Now we're all actors. I feel like we're all actors."
Yes.
and to an extent, he's right. You know, we're actors in a big stage play, and that's part of the reason why it's a multi-billion-dollar business right now. So I don't want to kill the golden goose. I love it.
And since we know
I'll feed that, the monster when I have to.
And since we know, probably since you gave your comment on Kawhi, Bleacher Report now has ESPN reporter says he knows where Kawhi is going. Let me take it a step further, Jonesy. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Since you know all, see all, where do you think those two are going, Durant and Kyrie?
I think Durant is definitely going to New York next year.
Definitely.
I think only because the factor that the Knicks know that he's either coming or have some kind of tacit agreement, wink, wink, because they let Porzingis, and, you know, I know some of the dynamics behind Porzingis leaving. It happened so quick, it's almost like they wanted him to leave, knowing that KD was going to come.
They had his replacement.
I mean, his security card was done before he left the building after saying that he didn't want to be there. He didn't give him a chance to even give them a list of teams that he wanted to go to.
Right.
He was gone. So Kyrie, I'm not so sure about. I could see Kyrie going to New York as well. You know, there's been some speculation about him going to Brooklyn, but, you know, they've already got, you know, they got D'Angelo Russell to deal with there.
Right.
They re-signed Dinwiddie on a deal during the course of the season. So I think New York gets at least one. I think New York's going to be a big winner in free agency.
Right.
I think Philadelphia's going to be a big winner in
free
agency. I really do. I just got a sneaky feeling that, you know, you look what Elton Brand did during the regular season, being able to engineer those deals with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. He's got a good feel for what's going on there, and they're not that far away. I think they're just they had to get some scars this year.
Right.
And next year, I think they let those scars work for them.
If Jimmy Butler stays in Philly, who does LeBron get? Does LeBron get anyone, or do you think the dysfunction there leaves them with the hodgepodge like they had this year with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Rondo and Beasley and JaVale McGee? Who joins LeBron as his 1A?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I don't know whether it's sooner or later, I really think Anthony Davis is going to end up there. I know David Griffin, the new general manager with the Pelicans, is talking about, you know, him staying and building around him with Drew Holiday and Zion Williamson, but Anthony Davis and his representation, Rich Paul, are still bent on him going to the Los Angeles Lakers, and I just don't think there's any way of stopping it. They can be as stubborn as they want, but, you know, I don't think at the end of the day they're going to cut off their nose to spite their face.
Well, Jonesy, the only thing better than predictions is when someone immediately leaves the country so you can't be tracked down. So I appreciate the time. The next time I will see Jonesy will be in Vegas. And folks, if you've never seen Jonesy in his Elvis outfit at the buffet, it's like nothing you want to miss. So make sure you're out there starting July 5th.
I'll be there all week. Thank you very much.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy watching the rest of the NBA Finals, all right?
Thanks, Mark.
You got it, guys. Ira, Greg, talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Mark Jones, play-by-play broadcaster from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mark Jones ESPN, and quite the predictions there. He seemed very confident.
I'm done. I'm writing my next 4 weeks' worth of stories as soon as I'm done now.
We figured out all the NBA's issues as far as free agency are concerned. Just ask Mark Jones. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Radio.com. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Ira Winterman filling in for Hawk and Crowder on this Monday. Alex Solano with us as well. Final segment here on the show before we turn things over to Larry Bluestein, who's in the house for the South Florida High School Sports Show. Always a great listen. Make sure you stay tuned for that, as he'll be taking you up until coverage of Stanley Cup Finals Game 4. Between the Bruins and the Blues. We talked to Steve Goldstein earlier about that. He'll be part of Westwood One's coverage. And also, big thanks to Mark Jones from ESPN. Ira, he's very definitive in his opinions.
That was crazy, right? On free agency. I mean, here, you know, again, I hope he's not totally right because we have another month of speculation to fill radio time with. But, okay, Kawhi Leonard, we know, is going to the Clippers. Kevin Durant, we know, is going to the Knicks. And no one knows where Kyrie Irving is going. But
You know, it's interesting. It's so much, Greg, of who you talk to and who you're around, because the one thing I found is there are people who are absolutely sold definitively on where people are going. There's the other people who are saying it's totally wide open. Again, there was that report by True Hoop, former ESPN writers. David Thorpe out of the Tampa area is very well connected, who said Kawhi Leonard definitively has agreed to stay in Toronto on a short-term deal. Obviously, not something you can just pull out of anywhere when you add the short-term deal thing.
Right.
But, man, for everyone who thinks they know something, there's like 10 other people who have a different idea. I agree with Mark. I just think the Clippers, for all they've done, the way they've scouted Kawhi, that makes sense. I think the one of all of these, when you're saying, Ira, if you could, you know, win $100 or whatever, if you got one thing correct among the major players, Greg, I think you'd agree. I'd put KD in New York.
It feels like that's been a foregone conclusion for a long time,
yeah.
Right? Much like LeBron to the Lakers.
Yes.
We heard about it for so long.
Before the season started in Cleveland, yeah.
And then it happened. And so, yeah, that does seem like it's going to occur. Here's the only question I would ask you, as we got just a few minutes left here. If Kevin Durant, I don't know what role he'll play in this series, but assuming the Warriors do beat the Raptors and have a three-peat, and they have the opportunity that's hanging out there to win four championships in a row, something we haven't seen since the 60s. Do you think that Kevin Durant may be intrigued about coming back on a short-term deal to try to achieve that level of history?
No, you know what? I think championships matter until you win one. Then I think it fades. So like we're saying, Kawhi Leonard, you know, could even win a championship in Toronto and leave, but he's already won a championship in San Antonio. KD has his championship. These players are not as bent on legacy. That's what's made LeBron different, chasing down Michael Jordan. That's what made Kobe Bryant different. There are certain legacy players. Again, you can get into the Hall of Fame but not be one of the great of greats when we're talking about greatest all time ever. Mm-hmm. I think MJ, I think LeBron, I think Kobe were different people. Today's players have business. They have so much else on the side that it's not about being dynastic. As we move further away from what the Celtics achieve with Cousy and Russell and their great teams, I don't think it matters anymore. I think the only one left is Tom Brady in New England, and everyone else has sort of moved on. I think players, once they get the ring, okay, but what about my business? What about my social media? There's so much more in play than just championships.
Yeah, it does feel that way. At the same time, also on top of that with Kevin Durant, it just feels like he specifically went to Golden State to win the championships. And so now he's done that. He's fulfilled his obligations contractually. And now he can, I look at it as him being liberated and go have his own team again.
And he's always been the third wheel with the Warriors. I'm not saying he's not better than Steph. I'm not saying he's not better than Klay. But it always has started with the Splash Brothers. Mm-hmm. And maybe even number three is Draymond Green for his versatility. He was never a great fit there. He was a winning fit, but I think when we look back on the great Golden State Warriors, I think we'll think about Splash Brothers first and foremost.
I agree. I mean, that they've been there all along. They were the homegrown guys. They drafted them, and they brought them up.
To me, the crime is this, that there was a team that had Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka and just blew it all up. Imagine what could have been. But as we know, ego and salary caps and luxury tax are factors now that weren't in previous eras.
Right, yeah. Doesn't feel like it was that long ago that they were losing to the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals.
2012, and then everyone just thought they were right there. Serge Ibaka said now, he says, you realize how long it takes to get back and how special it was, but it just shows you. I think that the timetable for super teams now, if you could build a super team and keep it together 4 years, like the Heat did with mm-hmm. Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, I'm not so sure that that's as long as it's going to last anywhere.
You're right. And everybody, it's with society, with the players, everybody's got a short
instant
attention
gratification,
span, right?
Want to move on to something else. And when you all want to be the man and only one man can be the man, I think that's what changes the dynamic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.